Illinois law, lender escrow accounts Illinois prescribes additional guidelines that must be followed by lenders who require escrow accounts for mortgage loans on single-family, owner-occupied residential properties. The Illinois Mortgage Tax Escrow Account Act at 765 ILCS 915 provides that except during the first year of the loan, a lender may not require an escrow accumulation of more than 150% of the previous year's real estate taxes. Lenders must give borrowers written notice of the Act's provisions at closing. The Illinois Mortgage Escrow Account Act at 765 ILCS 910 states that when the principal loan balance has been reduced to 65% of its original amount, the borrower may terminate his escrow account. The latter does not apply to loans insured, guaranteed, supplemented, or assisted by the state of Illinois or agencies of the federal government such as FHA and VA. Borrowers have the right to pledge an interest-bearing deposit in an amount sufficient to cover the entire amount of anticipated future tax bills and insurance premiums, instead of establishing an escrow account. Flood insurance. The National Flood Insurance Reform Act of 1994 imposes certain mandatory obligations on lenders and loan servicers to set aside escrow funds for flood insurance on new loans. The Act also applies to any loan still outstanding on September 23, 1994. This means that if a lender or servicer discovers that a secured property is in a flood hazard area, it must notify the borrower. The borrower then has 45 days to purchase flood insurance. If the borrower fails to procure flood insurance, the lender must purchase the insurance on the borrower's behalf. The cost of the insurance may be charged to the borrower. Assignment of rents. Though if the property involved includes rental units, the borrower may provide for rents to be assigned to the lender in the event of the borrower's default. The assignment may be included in the mortgage or deed of trust, or it may be a separate document. In either case, the assignment should clearly indicate that the borrower intends to assign the rents, not merely pledge them as security for the loan. In title theory states, lenders are automatically entitled to any rents if the borrower defaults. Assuming a seller's mortgage. When a person purchases real estate that is subject to an outstanding mortgage that does not have a fee due on sale clause, the buyer may take the property in one of two ways. 1. The buyer may purchase the property subject to the mortgage. 2. The buyer may assume the mortgage and agree to pay the debt. When the property is sold subject to the mortgage, the buyer is not personally obligated to pay the debt in full. Seller is ultimately responsible for the payment of the mortgage. In contrast, a buyer who purchases the property and assumes the seller's debt becomes personally obligated for the payment of the entire debt. The existence of a lien does not prevent the transfer of property. However, when a secured loan is assumed, the mortgagee or beneficiary must approve the assumption and any release of liability of the original mortgager or trustor. Because a loan may not be assumed without lender approval, the lending institution would require the assumer to qualify financially, and many lending institutions charge a transfer fee to cover the costs of changing the records. This charge can be paid by either the buyer or the seller. Alienation clause. The lender may want to prevent a future purchaser of the property from being able to assume the loan, particularly if the original interest rate is low. For this reason, some lenders include an alienation clause, also known as a due on sale clause, in the note. An alienation clause provides that when the property is sold, the lender may either declare the entire debt due immediately or allow the mortgage to be assumed. Recording a mortgage or deed of trust. The mortgage document must be recorded in the recorder's office of the county in which the real estate is located. Recording gives constructive notice to the world of the borrower's obligations. Recording also establishes the lien's priority. Priority of a mortgage. Priority of mortgages and other liens normally is determined by the order in which they were recorded. A mortgage or deed of trust on land that has no prior mortgage lien is a first mortgage or deed of trust. If the owner later executes another loan for additional funds, the new loan becomes a second mortgage or deed of trust, or a junior lien when it is recorded. The second lien is subject to the first lien. The first has prior claim to the value of the land pledged as security. Because second loans represent greater risk to the lender, they are usually issued at higher interest rates. Subordination agreement. The priority of mortgage or deed of trust liens may be changed by a subordination agreement, in which the first lender subordinates its lien to that of the second lender. To be valid, such an agreement must be signed by both lenders. Owner financing. Real estate can be purchased under a land contract, also known as a contract for deed or an installment contract. Real estate is usually sold on contract for specific financial reasons. For instance, mortgage financing may be unavailable to a borrower for some reason. High interest rates may make borrowing too expensive, or the purchaser may not have sufficient down payment to cover the difference between a mortgage loan and the selling price. Under a land contract, the buyer, called the vendee, agrees to make a down payment and a monthly loan payment that includes interest and principal directly to the seller. The payment also may include real estate tax and insurance reserves. In an installment contract, the seller, called the vendor, retains legal title to the property during the contract term, and the buyer is granted equitable title and possession. At the end of the loan term, the seller delivers a clear title. In the event the seller fails to deliver a clear title, the buyer, vendee, would file a vendee's lien. The contract usually permits the seller to evict the buyer in the event of default, instead of going through a foreclosure process. In that case, the seller may keep any money the buyer has already paid. If, however, the buyer has 20% equity in the property and a contract in excess of 5 years, judicial foreclosure would be necessary. Foreclosure. Foreclosure is a legal procedure in which property pledged as security is sold to satisfy the debt. The foreclosure procedure brings the rights of the parties and all junior lien holders to a conclusion. It passes title either to the person holding the mortgage document or deed of trust or to a third party, who purchases the realty at a foreclosure sale. The purchaser could be the mortgagee. At the foreclosure sale, the property is sold free of the foreclosing mortgage and all junior liens. Methods of foreclosure. There are three general types of foreclosure proceedings: non-judicial, judicial, and strict foreclosure. One, two, or all three may be available. The specific provisions and procedures for each vary from state to state. Non-judicial foreclosure. Some states allow non-judicial foreclosure procedures to be used when the security instrument contains a power of sale clause. In a non-judicial foreclosure, no court action is required. Judicial foreclosure allows the property to be sold by court order after the mortgagee has given sufficient public notice. When a borrower defaults, the lender may accelerate the due date of the remaining principal balance, along with all overdue interest, penalties, and administrative costs. The lender's attorney then can file a suit to foreclose the lien. After the presentation of the facts in court, the property is ordered sold. A public sale is advertised and held, and the real estate is sold to the highest bidder. Strict foreclosure. Although judicial foreclosure is the prevalent practice, it is still possible in some states for a lender to acquire mortgaged property through a strict foreclosure process. First, appropriate notice must be given to the delinquent borrower. Second, once the proper papers have been prepared and recorded, the court establishes a deadline by which time the balance of the defaulted debt must be paid in full. If the borrower does not pay off the loan by that date, the court simply awards the full legal title to the lender. No sale takes place. By Illinois statute, mortgage foreclosures may be brought about only through a court proceeding. As a result, Illinois is classified as a judicial foreclosure state. Under the Illinois 1987 mortgage foreclosure law, the term mortgage includes deeds of trust, installment contracts payable over a period in excess of 5 years, when the unpaid balance is less than 80% of the purchase price. Certain collateral assignments of the beneficial interest in land trusts used as security for lenders, and traditional mortgage instruments. Deed in lieu of foreclosure. As an alternative to foreclosure, a lender may accept a deed in lieu of foreclosure from the borrower. This is sometimes known as a friendly foreclosure because it is carried out by mutual agreement rather than by a lawsuit. The major disadvantage of the deed in lieu is that the mortgagee takes the real estate subject to all junior liens. In a foreclosure action, all junior liens are eliminated. Also, by accepting a deed in lieu of foreclosure, the lender usually loses any rights pertaining to FHA or private mortgage insurance or VA guarantees. Usually, a deed in lieu of foreclosure has a negative effect on the owner's credit rating. Short sales. A short sale is a process by which a lender accepts less than the amount owed on the property. The lender agrees to accept less because the lender may lose more money by acquiring the property through a foreclosure process, and then holding the property until the lender can find another buyer. An owner who wants the lender to accept a short sale must qualify for the procedure. 1. The owner must owe more on the property than the current value. 2. The owner must have a hardship such as a medical emergency, family death, divorce, etc. 3. The owner must have a reduction in income such as loss of their job. The seller can list their property with a real estate company, but the lender must approve the final sales price if less than what is owed. If there is more than one mortgage on the property, the first lien holder must notify the other lien holders before the settlement of the short sale. There is a very good chance that the second or third lien holders will receive nothing on a short sale. Many buyers seek to purchase a short sale because they often sell for less than market value. The process of a short sale can take several months and often doesn't close. The buyer must be aware that there may be years of deferred maintenance on the property, and it can cost much more money in the long run compared to a property that was not in distress. Licensed real estate agents must be sure that the individuals going through a short sale process seek the advice of legal counsel. Lenders typically reserve the right to file suit to acquire the missing amount, called a deficiency. Although few lenders actually file suit to recover the missing amount, they can. Because the borrower has received the money and has not repaid it, the borrower generally owes income tax on the deficient amount, i.e., the amount forgiven in the short sale and then receiving an IRS Form 1099. Under the Mortgage Debt Relief Act of 2007, however, taxpayers are permitted to exclude from taxable income the amount of debt reduced through mortgage restructuring as well as mortgage debt forgiven through foreclosure. The Act applies to debt forgiven in the years 2007 through 2012. For specific details, be sure to consult a competent accountant